And welcome to the M Zone. Jamie Morris, Matt Leach on the other side of the glass. And what a weekend it was. A weekend of Michigan extravaganza. Epic proportions. Epic. And you know I'm tired. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm tired and I feel good about it. I do. I do. It's a good tired.
It's a good tired. It's one of those for worthy cause, worthy endeavors this weekend.
It was. Let's put this in perspective. Not only did the basketball team go to the Sweet 16, Elite Eight, and now accomplish a goal of getting to the Final Four, the hockey team goes into the Northeast region, Worcester, Massachusetts, my backyard. Where it's cold. I ain't going to lie to you.
It's still cold up there.
Oh, they had a nor'easter this week.
We're trying to get to springtime over here. They're still stuck in winter mode.
As long as they're getting it.
Yeah, not over here.
I'm cool with it.
Back east.
I'm cool with it. That being said, they go in and they take out, you know, they took out, who did they take out first?
Northeastern.
And then took on BU. Now, you know the history with BU and Michigan, don't you? I mean, those two.
Rick Berenson had some great matchups with those guys. He was 5-5 throughout his career. So, again, a very, very evenly played, very hot fat, you know, two college blue bloods in terms of hockey. There's no doubt about it. So,
go to the Frozen Four.
That was a heck of a game.
And who owns the Frozen Four? Can I tell you who owns the Frozen Four? The Big Ten owns the Frozen Four. Three of the four teams. Now, I don't know if we count. We do have to count Notre Dame.
I don't want to, but apparently
they're part of the Big Ten. Hockey. Ohio State. Most hated. Oh, how I hate Ohio State. And Michigan. How about that?
A little bit of a rematch. Michigan, Notre Dame swept the first two games of the season. Michigan took the last two, so a fifth and deciding game to decide who's going to go to that championship game. And could you imagine, J-Mo, if Michigan plays Notre Dame in the Frozen Four and then Ohio State in the championship game?
Yeah.
Taking on our two rivals in the Frozen Four games. But, J-Mo, like you said, what a remarkable accomplishment to have not one, but two teams in the Final Four, the Frozen Four of their respective...
And I got to point out this. Don't forget, women's gymnastics want their fifth straight Big Ten title in Illinois this weekend.
Man, we just kicking butt all over the place.
Don't forget, baseball, they swept Michigan State.
Mm-hmm.
How about that?
Put it on them.
Yeah.
I know on the Friday game, I was waiting for that one to be done, and we just kept on. We were up. They scored a few, came back a little bit. Then we put up like six runs in the eighth or something like that, put it back on them. So always great to sweep Michigan State.
Mm-hmm.
Great weekend all around. But, J-Mo, do you know how rare of an accomplishment it is to have a team make not only the Final Four but the Frozen Four in the same season?
Oh, but I do, Matt.
Oh, you do?
I do. I'm sorry. I'm on Twitter, too, remember? But go ahead. Tell us how rare it is.
No. J-Mo, apparently you're the man with all the wisdom over there.
No, I want you, because you brought the question up, Matt. I want you to share with everyone how rare this is and what colleges in what state has done it before.
Well, this has only happened in six times in the what's like the modern era or the modern history of college athletics. And four of the times it has done by our very own Michigan Wolverines. I believe it was 1964 was the first one.
You're right.
Yep.
Go ahead.
64, 92, 93. And then obviously this year when we have accomplished that again. And then the only other two times it's happened in history, it happens to be our little bro over there in East Lansing. They did it in 1999 and 2001, but it's only happened six times in history, and every time it's been a school from right here in the great state of Michigan, the Great Lake State. It's a wonderful thing, J-Mo. Wonderful thing. I'm not at all excited about it. Can you tell, my man?
I love it. I love it. The same weekend, the same thing. Everything's going on. All it's on the line. You got to make it happen. Both teams come out smelling like roses, baby. Smelling like roses. I might as well use that pun, too. Would you like me to?
I don't mind it. I don't mind it, J-Mo. But, yeah, no, it's you know, obviously just a very rare thing. Just you know, huge credit to the two coaches leading those two teams. You know, John Beilein has been a model of consistency since he's been here in Ann Arbor. We've loved everything that he does. And what do you know about Mel Pearson coming in his first season as Michigan's head coach and taking them to the Frozen Four? What do you think about that, J-Mo?
It's like Jeff said, it's just a change of the culture. These kids weren't used to hard work, doing the things they were supposed to do. It's not, Mel just instilled in what he learned from Coach Red, Coach Berenson. I mean, he went up and worked on how he was going to coach and the things he was going to do. But when he came back, he infused the Michigan back into everybody.
Mm-hmm.
He got them ready. I mean, you heard Tamberlini on Friday, what he had to say, and said, "Yeah, this team's ready to go. We're ready to go." In his Canadian accent. I can't do the Canadian
ready to
accent.
Go.
Ready to go.
yeah, ready to go. And you know, he one thing that he's said since the beginning of the season, which he has been one of our hockey mainstays. We might hopefully have a few others on here a little bit later. Mm-hmm. But he has said since the beginning of the season, this is why you come to play at Michigan. Whenever we talked about, oh, we're about to play Notre Dame, the number one team in the country, mm-hmm. or you're about to play Ohio State in a huge marquee matchup, about to play Penn State in a huge marquee matchup, this is why you come to Michigan. This is why you come to play hockey here. This is why you come to not only play hockey, but basketball, football, baseball, soccer, yeah. Swimming, any sport. You come to compete at the highest level, and it's just, oh, it's such a wonderful thing, J-Mo. I almost had to say, man, am I dreaming? What's going on here? Having both teams in the Final Four, it's a wonderful thing, man.
No, it's awesome. It's great. You wake up in the morning. And you know, I've been on that milk crate, talking about John Beilein all year, saying that he deserves some of that Coach of the Year. He deserves some of that talk. I mean, think about it. What he has done with this team, a team that people were talking about that was maybe sixth, seventh, as low as eight in this league. No one was talking about Michigan when we first started out. Come on.
They were talking about everything that we lost from last season.
Exactly.
Derek Walton going on to the NBA. Zach Irvin, DJ Wilson.
Exactly. They lost the first round pick in DJ Wilson. He didn't even come back, right? There's nothing. Hey, the cupboard is bare. They got Mo Wagner coming back. That's all they said.
Mm-hmm.
Mo Wagner. And let's see if he wants to play. He doesn't play any defense, they said. He doesn't like to rebound.
He can't rebound that ball.
Can't rebound. I mean, that's why he didn't go to the pros, right? I mean, that's what they said. All of these things. John Beilein, he even put more in there. He went with a defensive coordinator. Got his own defensive coordinator. There's another football pun.
J-Mo, sometimes we need to borrow some things. You know, sports, they're not all just unique to themselves. You can translate a few things here and there. And Coach Beilein, you know, to his credit, has certainly delegated that responsibility. He knows, and again, that's a credit to him. He knows what he knows well, which is the offensive side of the ball. And so I'm going to bring in somebody who knows a little bit more about this defense thing than I do. I still know a little bit, but he might know a little bit more than I do. I'm going to put him in charge of the defense. And, man, has that paid off this year or what?
It's paid off. I'm going to tell you what. These kids, and I'm calling them kids. I'm sorry.
They are kids.
These young men are going out and giving everything they got, and they're scrapping. I mean, look, we know your shot's not going to fall all the time. And you can fall apart as a team because if you live by that three, you die by that three. But they got something else in them now. They know now that, hey, we can play as long as we play defense. And no, not in basketball. It doesn't say, you know, defense wins championships and all of that. Sometimes you're gonna get outscored. But if you play defense, you ain't gonna get as long as you scoring at a decent rate. You weren't scoring like you were Texas A&M scoring. Now, that was crazy.
Well, that was great. And, you know, an example of when we're living by those shots, because, again, all the shots were falling.
Right.
And,
everything.
You know, we haven't really dove into the game against Florida State too much just yet. But I think it's safe to say that those shots were not falling, J-Mo.
No, they weren't.
We might have used a few too many, though, in that Texas A&M game.
Yeah, we did unload a lot out
we
of that
We unloaded
bag.
A lot out of them. And then, and J-Mo, and not to, because I'm sure if you talk to any of the players, they would say the same thing. I mean, we shot less than 40% for the game. We shot less than 20% from the three-point line. And it wasn't, they weren't tough. There were some tough contested
right.
shots, but
well,
I, again, we had a poor shooting night.
Right.
We had a poor shooting night, but to the testament to this team, they were able to, again, play defense, get to the rim when they needed to. Charles Matthews did a great job of scoring on the inside when we were struggling shooting the ball from the perimeter. They did what they needed to do to win, and in March into April, when you've got to win six games, you're not going to win all of them pretty.
You're
not going to win all of them
right.
shooting the lights out,
right.
which, oh, we love seeing all those games, but you've got to learn to, you know, we've grinded out, to me, three of our four games.
Yeah,
where
without a doubt.
We did not play particularly well in those three of those four games. And I'm sure, again, if you talk to Coach Beilein, if you talk to any of the players on the team, they would tell you. They said, oh, yeah, we were hitting that Texas A&M game. We were firing on all cylinders. But up until then, we haven't.
So John Beilein, last 6 years, John Beilein, here's his stats. Two Final Fours, three Elite Eights, four Sweet 16s, 15 NCAA tournament wins, two Big Ten championships, one regular season Big Ten championship, seven draft picks, six in the first round. So anybody who wants, hey, you don't have guys going to the NBA. Yes, you do. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. You're not making it to the tournament. Yeah, he is. You're not winning in the tournament. Well, yeah, he is. You're not getting deep enough. Well, he's been to the Sweet 16, Elite Eight, and he's proven he can get to the Final Four. I'll put that up. Last 6 years, I'll put that up against any coach in America. In America. I mean, this man, you can't ask for any more. And I'm not saying he's doing it with all of these kids that are coming in one and done and everything like that. He's forming teams. He's putting relationships together. They play together. They lose if they're apart. They play together. They win. And it's been proven every down the road, every game this year. Every game this year. Last time they lost was Northwestern in February. February 6th.
Which we all said, is this going to be, because that was a game that I think they will tell you, we will tell you, it was not a game we should have lost.
Oh, it was
disappointing. We played terribly.
Porous.
Terribly.
Terrible.
My man Chuck, terrible. We played terrible.
Terrible.
But we said, will this be the wake-up call that that team needs? And at this point, I can safely say, J-Mo, I think it was the wake-up call that the team needed. And ever since then, again, we've had games where we played really well down the stretch and into the Big Ten tournament. But we've every one of those games since then, man, we've found a way to win.
Well, they found their magic in the Texas A&M game. And I talk about the Texas A&M game because it was the one game I was nervous about because of what they did to North Carolina, because of what North Carolina did to us. That being said, was not nervous about Florida State going in playing Florida State, even though it was a long, tall team. I was okay with it, though. Had a good feeling about it.
Me too, because we had just beaten the snot out of a long athletic team the game before.
That's a true statement, but Florida State, they played some. They're the one team I think that can match up well against Villanova. They're the one team that could be physically with Villanova. Because if you watch that Villanova-West Virginia game, not the Texas Tech game, but if you watch that West Virginia game, that was the most physical game, I think, of the tournament that I've seen all year. In that game, so when you play Villanova, they're going to be tough. But that's with Kansas. Kansas has got to worry about that beast right there.
Yep.
That's with Kansas. And how about Kansas beating Duke?
arguably the best game of the tournament. I mean, I don't know about arguably. I would say almost certainly the best game of the tournament so far. Certainly the best game of the weekend. It was great to see, you know, Michigan win, and that was a close game, but not necessarily the best or the most well-played game. But that that Duke-Kansas game, man, they were firing on all cylinders, mm-hmm. and it was just back and forth. No team further down than five in the game. And when I was watching JMO, if you were watching that game, would you have rather had Duke win, or are you happy that Kansas won as a potential final opponent for the Wolverines?
Selfishly, I would want Duke to play, because Duke would play Villanova, and they would cause more problems for Villanova. I think the Kansas team, the way they play, they got four guards, Matt.
Well,
and one big guy. Well, they got two big guys, but they rotate the big guys in and out. So, I mean, really, if you can keep your hands on that, on those four guards, if you're able to cover those four guards, take away the line. You got to take away the three. That's what you got to do, and drive them to the hole.
Well, yeah, as I was watching, because, J-Mo, I do, again, you and I, we've talked about, we have mm-hmm. the same championship
right.
with Michigan versus Villanova yeah. in the championship, mm-hmm. and feeling good about that one. But watching that Kansas-Duke game, I don't know. I'm not so confident in my Villanova pick anymore. That was a great game, and I was kind of, you know, watching, thinking, who would I rather play? Who would I rather play? Mm-hmm. I think Kansas, for the fact, like,
no,
you just said,
Kansas,
because
yeah.
they're a different Kansas team than we see most seasons, where,
right.
again, it's the one big guy in the middle, which that has Boogeyman. He's a big boy.
He's a big boy, but he gets tired quick.
He gets tired quick.
He's and
if he's
puffing.
Trying to chase Mo all around that 3-point line, he'll get real tired.
Right.
But just with the size matchup, because, gosh, I was just watching. I was like, God, if we had to play Bagley and Carter, I mean, livers can get big, but it's tough to get big with those guys the whole game.
I didn't want to see that.
Oh, no.
I didn't want to see that.
So I was happy again. And I have my sister-in-law is good friends with the Shires. John Shires, a coach mm-hmm. at Duke. So I always pull a little bit for the Dukies. But I have to admit, I was pretty happy to see them go as a potential.
Oh, you and me both. plus my bracket. Was happy to see him go.
No,
did I take? Wait a minute. I took Duke.
Him. Yeah,
I had Duke. Didn't
I was going to say me.
I did take Duke.
We had Duke, Nova, and Michigan. So, was a great all around sports weekend. Like you said, John Beilein. You know, people are now that we're here, people are starting to talk about all the. You know, all the accolades he deserves and everything going on. But
he didn't get them. See, here's my problem. In 2013, Matt, they were in the same position. Yeah, Trey Burke, you still had some guys. I mean, come on. But he didn't get the accolades he was supposed to get. This time around, there's no reason for him not to get the accolades. Take nothing away from Loyola Chicago. Take nothing away from them. They are on an incredible streak. They're doing things that's out of mind, out of body for them. I mean, come on, playing at this level right now, the way they've played, not that they've taken on Goliath, because Goliath has self-destructed in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I mean, they really have.
You're not wrong.
I mean, they played K-State.
They beat a good Tennessee team earlier in the tournament.
Tennessee,
Miami was a – they had their toughest games, at least in terms
early
of opponents,
on.
Were
right.
earlier on.
Right.
Yeah.
But, I mean, outside of that, they're hitting on all cylinders,
mm-hmm.
playing as a team, moving around, knowing where each other are going to be. I mean, look at how that team flows. It's like an ebb and flow. It's incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, you got two teams that are colliding with one another that are playing team basketball on this side of the bracket.
Yep.
Michigan and Loyola are just they're two teams, two wills. Two coaches, Edge, Michigan, because of Beilein. He's the one guy who's never been an assistant in his life, never been an assistant, who knows to watch film. He knows what he's looking at, and he's going to devise something on how to beat this team. You know it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have that feeling like, wow, okay, give me John Beilein for this week.
But the other thing that gives me confidence, JMO, because I agree with you, and anybody who's followed the program closely over the past few years would feel that same confidence. You give John Beilein a week to game plan for a game,
mm-hmm.
I'll take him probably 10 out of 10 times.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that separates this team is the grit that they have, that when things don't go to plan, when that defense forces you out of your comfort zone, if you're not hitting your shots, they have the grit to get those tough rebounds, to get on the floor and get the ball, to lock in defensively and get a stop when we absolutely need to. Mm-hmm. Grab those big rebounds. This is, on top of the best defensive team, this is one of the best rebounding teams John Beilein's had. That's always been somewhat of an Achilles heel when we would either play the zones or just us playing usually one center and a small power forward in the Big Ten, where most teams still have a typical power forward, things along those lines. We have rebounded the ball tremendously well, especially here in the tournament.
No, excellent. I mean, they're not – hey – this is not the old let them rebound. It's just a rebound and going down there. Maybe we'll get a tap in or something like that. Those days are not here today in this Michigan team. Those days where, okay, we're going to, and where the coach is going to sit there and say, we're going to get out rebound. It's just going to happen. It's just the times. We're going to get our shots. We're going to hit our shots, and that's what we're going to do. Hey, like you said, we're not going to hit all of our shots, but we're going to have three to four guys grabbing rebounds, especially mm-hmm. around the defensive boards.
Yeah.
And then on that offensive board, we'll have one or two that we can get a tap in, grab one, knock the ball out of somebody's hand, something like that. And then on defense, they're down there low. Any big guy that's got the ball low, you're going to get the ball slapped out of your hand. They're going to get to the ground. You got to protect that ball because they're all slapping at the ball, moving their hands.
It's all on that defensive side of the ball. It's all five guys playing mm-hmm. all the time, which, again, when you have games where Xavier Simpson is grabbing 6-8 rebounds, I mean, that guy's barely taller than me or around my height, and he's grabbing 6-8 rebounds against these giants out there, these 7-footers, 6'8", 6'10 guys. Mm-hmm. So, again, to me, that's just, again, very indicative of all five guys buying in. I mean, there's been games where Matthew's been the leading rebounder, Mo,
But see, and that's the thing. As a team, it doesn't matter who leads what stats. Doesn't matter who's the leading scorer. It doesn't matter who's the leading rebounder. They're all having fun with it. And if somebody gets hot, they're seeking out the hot player. No matter what, they're going to find their buddy that's hot. If he's been shooting lights out, I'm going to make sure he gets the ball. Whatever play it is, we're going to run the play. You saw it when Xavier was going to the hole, and who did he find over in the corner for the three ball? That puts him up at 10 late in the second half. He got it right to Duncan.
Thank God he hit that one, because we needed after struggling the way that we did.
Right.
It was just one of those ones just for, you know, he had that wide open shot. And again, mm-hmm. when we see Duncan Robinson with the wide open three, we expect it to go down.
So every time he touches the ball, I expect it to go down. I'm sorry. No. But he wasn't taking a lot. Wait a minute. He didn't take a lot of shots.
Mm-hmm.
But whenever he shoots it, I expect that ball to go in. I want that ball to go in. And I'm sure he expects that ball to go in. Hey, I don't care what anybody says. That number one first and number one priority for Duncan Robbins, when he touches the ball and that ball goes up, it goes through the hole. That's the first thing. The second thing is play defense. You're going to play on a guy that's bigger than you. Probably he's got 20 to 30 pounds more than you. Just get physical with him.
Mm-hmm.
And he did. And he has. And you've got to applaud that. John Beilein and his coaching staff have employed in these young men that you've got to play bigger than what you are. And they have. If you look at the players and the teams that they've faced – The last two games, look at the size of them. I mean, look what you go up against, and look at what Michigan's done. It's impressive. It has to be. No, they didn't shoot well against Florida State. But what kept them in it was they got down on the floor. You could see them scrapping on the floor, jumping for the ball all over the place. When have you seen players like that jumping around? I'm quite honestly, it made Florida State have to jump around on the ball. Mm-hmm. And you don't see too many basketball players jumping around on the ball cleaning up. It's called cleaning up the trash. And they weren't cleaning up no trash. Nobody wanted to clean up the trash.
We're all pretty boys in basketball, man. You know we don't want to do that.
It got smacked out of bounds. Hey, coach. But they're jumping around, doing the things that they're supposed to do.
Yeah.
And Florida State, they played a good game. I'm not gonna lie about that. They played up to a point. They got out hustled. in the end. They got out hustled, got out fought. Somewhere at 11 seconds left in the game, somebody had a brain fart. I know that Florida State didn't have any timeouts, but you got to foul somebody, bro. I mean, you're down by 4 points. Come on.
Yeah, that was.
That was weird.
Yeah.
I mean, Duncan Robinson, did you see that? Duncan Robinson threw the ball up in the air with 3 seconds left. I'm like, what are you doing? But, and everybody let it bounce.
But, yeah, no. We've seen a lot of crazy things happen. But on top of it, when you have a team, which, again, Michigan struggled from the free throw line, which a team that has had those struggles all throughout the season, how you wouldn't at least try and give yourself a chance there.
But that's coaching, too. You got to look at the sidelines, and the sidelines have got to tell you to make something.
I agree with
you. But we got to go to a break. We come back. We're talking Michigan wins. We're talking Frozen Four, Final Four. We're talking Big Ten champions. We're talking sweeps. We're talking all kinds of things. You're listening to the M Zone.